This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinand Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and we want to help you guys help us keep the conversation moving forward. You can do that by supporting the show. You can just share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links right there so you can do just that.
The verse of the day today is coming from Matthew chapter 7, verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of like a little
clap back there, a little jab back at the scribes.
Because they thought they had authority. Yeah. They thought they were the authority.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you teach with the authority of Christ, it actually comes with a sense of humility. It's funny how that works. Mm-hmm. You know, those who grasp for authority are usually the ones who end up without it. And it's by design. God made it that way.
Yeah. The scribes were trying to teach us people who were grasping at authority. You put that very well. They were after authority, but Jesus had authority. He didn't need to pretend to be something else.
Right.
He is the Son of God. So when he spoke, it carried weight and people responded to that.
That's right. And there's no greater authority under heaven and in earth than God's word. And we want to present that with you every single day right here on the Clearview Today Show. You can also do that by downloading the Date the Word app. You can get it for free on iPhone or Android right now. We're going to leave a link in the description of this show. Ryan, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How you doing?
I've been better.
I'm good. I'm not well.
100%. I have been better. I was disrespected this morning in the most egregious way.
What happened?
Well, first and foremost, let me welcome all our listeners to the Gripevine. Welcome to the Gripevine.
Doink.
I was made a sandwich this morning.
Oh.
I'm not going to say who made it. But there's four people in my house. I didn't make it. I would never do this. My two sons are, they can't make it. So they're little. So I'm not going
to
say who made it.
Who was?
It was a grilled cheese sandwich, which is one of my favorites.
Sure. Solid.
I especially love it for breakfast. It's kind of like cheese toast, but you know.
Just kind of like cheese toast that's hugging itself.
Yeah, it's just hugging. Just cheese toast with a little high five in the middle.
Sure.
Two end pieces.
Oh.
Now, I'm going to give you a gripevine here. If you're going to make someone a sandwich, you don't give them, and not just like a wife to a husband, you don't give them the end pieces unless you want to disrespect them.
Right.
It's disrespectful to give someone the end piece of bread. And yeah. I don't know why that is, but I know in my heart that it's true.
Yeah. Typically in our house, we'll just toss the end pieces.
Yes, of course.
You just kind of reach around them and then just say, boop, just
nobody's
toss
eating
now,
the end
pieces.
If
you're like desperate and there's nothing left, like, hey, I'm so sorry. What we had left were the end pieces. Well, no problem. Thank you for making me a sandwich.
So fair enough. I would say you can you can eat the end piece if you're making it for yourself. Like if I'm making it, I'm like, all right, I really want this sandwich. I hate it, but I'm just going to eat the end piece. But it's like, hey, do you want a sandwich? Yeah, I really do. Cool. I'll make you one. And then to give you the end piece, we gotta.
I would ask. I'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize all we have left are the end pieces. Are you still okay? Do you still want me to make
They'd
you a
be
sandwich?
Ew, Ryan.
I guess. No, okay. I just, that's why I asked. Didn't know if you still wanted a sandwich.
They're like, let's just order pizza.
Okay. For breakfast.
Yeah. For breakfast. Sure. Would you eat the end piece off a sandwich? Nope. Would you eat the end piece off a sandwich? If someone gave y'all, I'm asking David and Nicholas, if someone gave y'all the end piece, that'd be disrespect, right?
How?
You treat that
Let
as
me
disrespect.
Ask you this. How well, and I know that we're talking about a specific scenario, but
sure.
Hypothetically, if somebody were to make an end piece sandwich, how well do I know this person?
Okay. So great point.
If I don't know them very well, I would be like, okay, thank you for making me a sandwich.
Oh.
If I know them very well, like if they're very close to me, I'd be like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, I agree 100%. If you like, it's like, if you know me and we're close in life and you're giving me the end pieces off the bread, like, you know, you wouldn't eat that crusty, musty,
so
dried
why,
up old bread.
Why are you
bread,
giving it to
and
me?
And now you're going to put it on my plate.
That's what
and
I'm
then,
saying.
And then here's the thing. I look over and the kids have nice, clean, pristine grilled cheese sandwiches. Oh, no.
Oh,
so
no.
I gave Gavin the end piece. I gave him my sandwich. Yeah, 100%. He's not eating that. I snatched it right off his
my
plate.
Kids, I don't think my kids care because they'll straight up make a sandwich with end pieces. I don't think they care.
Little
and
kids.
It's not like we have forced them to have the end pieces or we've tried to like work it. They just were like, hey, it's bread. Whatever.
That's why I'm like, why does Gavin have a nice, clean, nice looking grilled cheese sandwich and I've got the end pieces?
Or if you have to make an end piece sandwich, just like maybe you and I are trying to have a sandwich and there's two good pieces and two end pieces left. Like, let's just each take an end piece.
I wouldn't even do that. No. I wouldn't even do that.
I just try to spread it out a little bit.
Yeah. Let's see what Dr. Shaw thinks.
Are the end pieces disrespect? Write in and let us know.
It's disrespect. Yes, 100%.
Write in and let us know. 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
What's going on, listeners? My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we hope you are enjoying the podcast thus far.
You know, we really appreciate how many of you download the podcast every day.
Right.
But we also want to remind you that we are first and foremost a radio show.
Clearview Today is actually syndicated through the Truth Network. And we just want to let you know right now that in addition to hosting the all-time best Christian talk show of all time.
Hashtag Clearview Today.
The Truth Network also, as it turns out, has an extensive library of Christian programming.
We really love everything they're doing at the Truth Network because the whole goal is to encourage, challenge, confront, and uplift listeners with the life-changing truth of Jesus Christ through Christian Talk Radio.
And listen, we know we are not the only show wanting to expand its audience. So if you have a vision for your show or for your ministry, why don't you consider syndicating your show through the Truth Network? Because they rely on decades of experience of self-syndication with a full array of features for your long-form or short-form content.
Make sure you visit the Truth Network online today at truthnetwork.com, or you can give them a call at 336-759-0363. Again, that's 336-759-0363. Well, John, are you ready?
I was born ready, my friend. Let's hop right back in.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we're here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who's a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Dr. Shah, we had a discussion today on respect, admiration, just being treated like a decent human being. And I wanted to know if someone, let's say Nicole or David or someone else, if someone made you a sandwich, and both pieces of bread, not one, but both pieces of bread are in pieces.
Right.
Is that disrespect? Do you feel like you've been disrespected?
I am going to eat it and just think that, you know, it's just that other people didn't want it and they just kept taking the middle pieces. Mm-hmm. And so that's left. That was left. Hey, it is life. But internally.
Yeah, dude, I knew it.
Yeah. I will wonder, why is it that I get treated this way?
Or or let me ask you this. Let's say Nicole makes, let's say y'all are all on vacation together. Right. Rebecca's there, Abigail's there, the boys are there, Nicole's, everybody's there, your whole family's there. Everybody else's sandwiches look normal and daddy's is the the two end pieces.
Something, I mean, I won't be like angry, but it will spoil my mood a little bit.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Right. Yes. It feels
it's
targeted.
It's disrespectful.
It feels disrespectful.
It's disrespect, and I don't think it's just a man thing. It's disrespectful for anybody to get the in
it
pieces.
Is.
But if you're going to do it, give them to the kids.
Right. Well, can I share a story?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
This totally throws your segue out of the way.
It's completely fine.
He's gone now.
it's fine.
So years ago, when we moved from the parsonage, bought our own home, and, you know, God really blessed us. We were able to do that. And one reason to move out of the parsonage was, you know, of course, the neighborhood had really gone downhill. Mm-hmm. Not that we minded the people who actually owned their homes, but what was happening was a lot of times people were coming into the neighborhood who had ulterior motives. Yeah. We almost had a break-in. I mean, it was just terrible.
Yeah.
And so we bought a house. Thank God for that. It was wonderful. And that's where we live now. Then we our kids are going to Christian school, so that added cost and all that. So it was a tough year. Mm-hmm. But a good friend of mine had told me, this is going to be like this. Hang in there. You're going to go through a season where it will seem like you are going to be broke your whole life. Mm. This is as good as it gets. Don't think that. Just know that this is part of what a lot of us have to go through. You're going to come out of it. Mm-hmm. I say all that to say, when Christmas came, I knew that. I knew this was going to happen where we won't have much to give to each other. Mm-hmm. So, Nicole, of course, we said we're going to prioritize the children. Mm-hmm. We're going to give them clothes, shoes, whatever they need. It'll be a big deal. For us, hey, we'll get just something small.
Yeah, it just is what it is.
Right.
Something small.
Right.
Sure.
I can give me a $5 gift card.
There you go.
Yeah,
that would be good. What Nicole did was she went and bought some movies for the kids.
Okay.
And gave them to me.
wait, put movies for the kids and gave them to you?
Gave them to me as a Christmas present. I'm like, what is this?
What was it?
It was
like kids' movies?
Kids' movies. Maybe they were Marvel. Maybe one of them was a Marvel.
But clearly something that was for the
Disney.
Kids.
Yeah, for the kids. Like, this is your gift. And I opened them like, this is a mistake? She's like, no, this is.
He said, is this a mistake?
This is for you. I mean, of course, we're going to all watch it together.
Sure, of course. This is not really for you, but for.
This is Captain America, the first Avenger, the worst one.
Yeah. So it was like, okay, we had agreed that we have to do this. We don't have much money. This is how it's going to be. But it was very disrespectful.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I said, why did you give me the kids' movies? Shh, wait.
She's looking at you like, don't.
Yeah, but this is how we're going to gift. I was like, no, that's not true.
I'm not going to get to the store right now. Get me a Christmas.
You could have got me a pair of socks.
Yeah, right. Something I can use.
Something for me. Don't give me someone else's present.
Yeah, that's when am I going to come in here and be like, you know what I really want? I want to sit down with a DVD that Nicole gave me of a kid's, one of the Marvel movies, and just watch
it. So that was... Kind of like the bread thing.
Yeah, that's 100%. You don't give family like gifts that everybody can use. That's not the like anybody can go watch a DVD.
Yeah.
You don't give that as a gift for your spouse.
You
Nicole, shame on you.
Your spouse a little bit better than that.
Bruh. There it is. It was delayed.
It was delayed because it was so upset.
Yeah,
the sound effect was so upset.
Don't give your spouse the kid's gift. Don't give your spouse the end pieces of bread. And speaking of bread, we actually have a bread-related question today.
Okay.
And I wanted to just let you know what time it was, Ryan. Oh, here it comes, brother. I'm going to turn the volume up for you.
Mail time.
Hit him, Ryan.
Here's the mail, it never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail,
yeah. We got some mail from Martin K. You want to read it?
Sure.
Yeah, you can read it. It's right here.
Martin K. wants to know, I come from a church that used to do communion every single Sunday. It was very traditional. I'm now at a church that does communion every fifth Sunday, sometimes even less frequently. Part of me feels as though it diminishes the sacrament, but I also know that the communion itself isn't holy. I'm struggling to let go of the tradition because I genuinely enjoyed it. Thanks for answering. Love the show. Shout out from Greenville, South Carolina.
Oh, thank you for writing in, Martin.
Okay.
I didn't know that churches actually did the communion every Sunday.
Yeah.
Like there are some churches out there that do
so
it.
So I guess this question is like the frequency of communion more or less, does it matter?
Well, in his question, he used the word sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that sort of tells us how he views the communion.
Yeah.
There's a difference between sacrament and ordinance.
Mm.
Ordinance, I mean, just sort of the word itself is something that Jesus ordered us to do.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
The mindset behind it is this is done in obedience. sacraments has sacred value.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the idea is when I take part of this, then it does something for me.
Good point. Mm-hmm. Good so point. I wouldn't have even thought of that.
That's why people focus on, we got to do the communion more often because I need this.
Because it's actually sacred.
It is sacred.
It's a sacred act.
Now, what level of sacredness? Some people believe that this really gives you some spiritual blessing. Others believe that it sort of connects you to Christ more. Some even believe as much as, you know, it protects you and heals you and you know, gives you vitality and mm-hmm. all of that stuff. And if you believe that, of course, you know, I don't think the communion is a sacrament.
Right.
But I don't think it's as cheap as what we've made it out to mm-hmm. be.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
let's
that's true.
Stick to the text. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the text tells us that it's, you know, because they were mistreating the Lord's table, mm-hmm. hence many are weak, sick, and some asleep, means mm-hmm. dead. So it's more than just some, you know, order that Jesus gave without any significance. It's more than that.
Yeah, that's true.
There is some value to it. There is some spirituality behind it. So I think the answer is somewhere in the middle.
Mm. Yeah.
So I would encourage our friend Martin to, of course, some of the Baptist churches have almost diminished the Lord's Supper to like once a month, once a year or twice a year. And that's so not right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, in some of these sacramental type churches where it is almost every week that it has lost a significant or taken on a new significance, mm-hmm. which was never intended in the Bible.
True. Yeah.
That's a good distinction. I need to do this because Jesus commanded me to versus I need to do this because of what it accomplishes for me.
I really love the way we do it at Clearview. I don't know, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you keep up with the calendar a lot more than us, but we do it to where, is there like a set time? Like, is it every fifth Sunday or is it every like,
so we
or
do
is it,
it
like once a quarter or something
there's
like that?
There's not, it's not like exactly on the dot. Usually it's about every 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. But you know, we'll have communion for special events too. Like we do communion on Christmas Eve service. Or
right.
We do communion on Good Friday. So there are some other times. Or Easter. Mm-hmm. So there are some other times that it's a little bit more frequent or it'll be kind of, maybe these periods will be
3 weeks
stretched out.
Between 3 weeks, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The reason I like it the way we do it is because it's not, it's special. It feels special, but it's not rare.
Yeah,
it's not a rare thing.
Right. That's how it should be.
Like, oh, wow, we're doing communion. Okay. That's it's spaced out enough to where it feels special. Like this is not your average ordinary Sunday.
Right.
At the same time, it's not like, what is this? I don't know what this is.
Right. Yeah. I don't have any memory of doing this in recent memory.
So I do have a couple of stories. One of them I wanted to tell was when I was a kid, before I got saved, I was a little kid, maybe like Gavin's age, maybe a little older, but my grandmother grew up in a Methodist church. And so she took me and they did communion one time and you had to go up to the front and he would give you a piece of like actual bread and they had a cup and I'm not joking. They would dip it in the grape juice and swallow it. And I saw the people in front of me doing it. And I remember I was a real picky eater as a kid. I was like, I don't want to do that. And I was like going up in the line and getting more and more scared. And then I went and took it and I was like, maybe I can just... And I went to go eat it, and the guy at the front was like, no, you could just dip. And I was like, I don't want to. And I remember me and my being like, dip it in the cup. And I dip it and hold it in my mouth. I was so scared to swallow the soggy bread. Did y'all do it like that when you were growing up?
No, it was never dip and swallow. It was more the men would... But my dad would, of course, preach a message, and usually it was at the end of the message. Either the message would lead into the communion, or it would be, you know, a whole different message that has nothing to do with the communion, but communion was added on as okay, this is communion Sunday. And my dad would then invite the men to come first. And they would come, and our pulpit looked different. It looked like a lot of the country churches have the pulpit, you know, where you can actually go and kneel up front. So they would come and they would kneel across so we could see them, you know, kneeling. And then my dad would walk from one end to the other in front of them. So we could see my dad, but then we could see all these men in front of him and give each one a bread. And he would say each time, this is the bread of Jesus' body broken for you and all the way in. And then he would stop at the end and then say, you know, partake of this together, knowing that this is represents the bread of the body of Jesus broken for you. Then he would pick up the tray, the communion tray, and then begin again from that end and make his way all the way, giving each one a cup. Mm-hmm. And then he would stop at the end, and then he would say, you know, recognizing that this is the cup of the new covenant in his blood, let's partake of it together.
Is there a set way to do it? Or like for instance, when you there's a cadence that you do when you do the communion,
right?
That it's kind of easy to, I don't want to say it's predictable, but it's the cadence, and you know, right. You know, your did you model it after your dad's way of doing it, or did you kind of form it on your own? Was it intentional? Is it something that we just kind of tried until it worked?
I kind of, you know, blended how I grew up, mm-hmm. with how I saw it over here, because okay. I'm very strong on the context in which ministry is being done. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to know how people here expected the communion to be. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm not sacramental, so you know there are some lines there that I'm not going to get into.
Sure.
So I'm not going to have you come and put it in your mouth and all that stuff, because yeah. because they put it in your mouth because you're not supposed to touch it.
They put, the person with the bread puts it in your mouth. Oh, yeah. They feed you the bread. Uh-huh.
Is yeah. that how you grew up?
No. I've just seen that done.
I've never seen that.
Especially in Catholic churches, you go up forward and they'll give it.
What would you do if you did that and someone bit you a little bit?
I would slap them. In Jesus' name.
That's funny.
Go in peace. Yes. Or not.
Go in peace.
Depart
or not,
from
but
me.
Don't you ever
I
do that
never
again.
Knew you.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny because the very first time I ever came, it's also like, some of the cadences like differ, but really in minute ways. Mm-hmm. Like the church, when I did get saved, the church I was in, they would give it to you and you just went on ahead and ate it like as they gave it to you. So then I came here to Clearview and I remember, I'll never forget, it was so funny. I took it and, you know, communion, it's somber. You want to do it right. And you want to, that's not a time where you want to stand out because it's silent, it's reflective. Right. So I took it out of the thing and I just popped it right in my mouth. Here at Clearview, everybody waits. Then we all do it together.
Right.
But the very first time I ever did, I took it and I just put it in my mouth. And Rebecca and Abigail both were like,
huh?
And I remember Abigail was like, she leaned over and was like, take that out. But it was already chewed up. I was like, I can't take it out. She was like, you're supposed to wait. I was like, okay, I'll wait.
I'm sorry.
I'll wait. But I remember the look those two girls gave me. They were like,
well, the question is, I mean, how did y'all grow up? And I know you had different experiences because you had the early experience of going to one kind of church, mm-hmm. and then you have a different. We're not going to mention the names of the churches, but how was it for you first?
The first time that first time where you dip it in, I only did that once in my life. I was a little kid, and I wasn't regularly going to that church. Mm-hmm. That was just a memory from childhood. It was pretty much identical to how we do it here. Which is the ushers will pass it out. The only difference between how we do it here is as soon as you get it, you just go on ahead and partake. Mm. And then you just kind of sit and wait for everyone else to get it. And then they would. But here we do it almost identical, other than we all wait, we get it. And then Dr. Shust says at this time, let's partake of the bread together. And we all do it together.
Yeah.
That was the only difference. Otherwise, it was pretty identical.
Growing up, I grew up in Southern Baptist churches. So it was largely similar to the way we do it here. The ushers will come, pass the plates and everything. One thing I appreciate about the communion that we do here, as opposed to the way we grew up, is the wafers we have here are real thin. Mm. The ones we had growing up were still wafers, but they were really thick. So when you would bite, it was almost like biting a mint. So you would hear the pastor say, let's partake of it together. But then everybody crunches down on it at the same time. So it's like,
yeah. I remember at the church I was at before, we had a problem. I don't know. And I didn't know how to feel about it. I was in the youth, but I wasn't doing this, but they would use oyster crackers.
Yeah.
Oh, so after communion, the teenagers and the students would all be in the kitchen, like just
snacking
on them out of the communion plates. And I remember people didn't like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, I wasn't in that, but I was like, eh.
So basically, would you say it was similar?
Very similar.
Like what we do here?
Mm-hmm. Pretty similar. There was a church that I was a part of before coming to Clearview where families would come down front, mm-hmm. And we would all get the cup. I mean, you would have the individual cups, but there were loaves of bread that you would kind of take a piece of bread off and you would pray together as a family at the front and then go back to your seat, and there was sort of like music playing, but it was self-led. Like you kind of did this on your own.
Mm-hmm. Like a self-service,
like a communion buffet,
or like Walmart, you know, it's like, this is, you can go through a line or you can self-checkout.
This is the self-communion line. But it was odd doing it alone. Cause it's supposed to be we're all doing it together, but it was kind of independent at the same time.
Right.
And it also took so long.
Yeah, true.
So, I mean, it was like, It was the church service and then service again for communion because you just kind of
went. Would you leave once you're done?
No. Yes. I mean, yeah, I guess you could, but nobody did because it was kind of like, oh, why are they leaving in the middle of communion? Because we've been here for 45 minutes now.
Dr. Shah preached a sermon not long ago on 1 Corinthians when the last time we did communion, and it was about how they were in the triclinium and they were lounging and they were getting drunk and all this stuff. That same Sunday, we were talking to a woman who's going to start our translation ministry here, where basically she sits in a room and she listens to the sermon and translates it into Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then people who don't know it is. And people who don't speak English can come in. They can listen to that translation, still enjoy the service. So I was talking to her
in real time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was talking to her about the room that we're setting up in the new building. I was like, you know, we're going to have, there's going to be a door here. There'll be a TV. There'll be a little couch, a little seating area. And so when they do communion, they'll come in. She was like, I just heard a sermon on this. I don't want to be in the triclinium, like kicking my feet up, relaxing, taking the Lord's Supper. She was like, I feel like it was the same. So she was like, I feel like we just heard a sermon on this. I don't need a couch. I don't need a comfortable chair.
That's funny.
Three couches.
Yeah. She was like, she was like, can we call the room the triclinium? I was like, probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, and she came from the West Coast. Mm-hmm, so things were different over there too. Yeah. So I'm sure that's also, how about you, David?
In my 16, 17 years of being at that church, I don't remember ever taking communion.
You didn't have communion at all?
Not to my knowledge.
Was communion something that got introduced to you here?
Mm-hmm. I knew about it because it's biblical, but it's not something that we ever took.
Wow. How did you know about it?
Because, I mean, the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians and stuff like that, but it wasn't anything that
you had seen lived out,
performed,
like practiced?
Right.
Wow.
You'd never seen it in action?
No. No.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Never.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. That's insane.
The majority of the Christian world has done it, David didn't.
Yeah, that's
what is this?
That's insane. Wow. I really didn't know that.
That's surprising.
Yeah, I didn't know it was an ordinance that people did. And I mean, even the same with baptism, it was like once or twice every year or two we had baptisms.
Wow.
So it was the same thing, like doing things like baptism and communion frequently is not something that I remember at all.
When you do a radio show like this, sometimes you have to pretend to be surprised by things. Like just for the show, you'd be like, oh, wow, really? I'm genuinely shocked by that.
Wow.
You had never.
Yeah.
Wow.
A tradition, I guess, that he came from did not have that.
So I get kind of going back to Martin's question, because I think there was a lot of it where it was like, I really just enjoyed this tradition. Mm. And is it wrong to enjoy the tradition? You know what I mean?
I don't think it's wrong to enjoy the tradition. And I don't think we should be against tradition.
Yeah.
Sometimes the pendulum swings in such a direction where anytime you say the word tradition, oh my gosh, no.
And flee!
It's, you know, read the Bible. It talks about don't, you know, take away the old landmarks, you know, that your fathers have set. So tradition is part of the landmarks of Christianity.
Right.
Communion, this is a tradition. Mm-hmm. It's a family meal. Mm-hmm. So don't take it down so quickly. I would also say that the idea of taking the communion so you can have spiritual blessings is not right.
Mm.
I don't think that's really what's intended there. Like, it doesn't give you any supernatural powers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It may bring you closer to Christ in your understanding and in your growth when you truly submit to the requirements of the communion. Also, the family thing that they're doing, maybe it's novel, maybe it's cool to do that, but really it's a biblical family meal.
Right. That's right.
Which means we all take it together, and it's not supposed to be individuals. That's why sometimes people have this, you know, can you come and do a communion with so-and-so because they're dying or something like that. I do it.
Sure.
But I don't know what they're intending by that.
Yeah.
We have couples when they are getting married, they want to do communion. I'm not against it and I'll do it. Personally, I would suggest do it for the whole group.
Yeah.
Right.
Just let's all do it. Let's just do it at the ceremony.
But then they want to do just between them two and me, although I'm not doing it, it's just them two, which I think it has a meaning because Christ is the head of the home. He's part of the life. But you don't need a communion for that.
Right. Yeah.
But if it gives them meaning, I do it. I'm like, Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's a beautiful ceremony in the wedding. So some couples have done it. Some don't. And I don't say you should do the communion. How dare you not do the communion in your wedding?
That's a good point.
Like, no, I don't think you have to.
That's a great way to think about it. It's not harmful or bad to do it.
And if they do it, it doesn't mean like, oh my goodness, you're so awful for doing this.
Right.
No.
But it's just sort of like a misapplication or a misunderstanding of what communion is supposed to be.
I wouldn't even say misapplication. Maybe it is because I'm trying to be as nice as possible.
Not you're wrong for doing that. Because I mean, Elizabeth and I we did communion at our wedding.
Really?
But, yeah,
excommunicate him.
I was going to say, get out of here right now. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
nothing played.
Yeah, I don't know what the world is or something like that. Yeah, you got to get the soundboard back up.
Bruh.
Yeah, I'll just do it for you. Bruh.
But I mean, understanding it now in light of what it's meant to be, a family meal, I wish we had done it with the entire church that was there. That would have been even more special.
We need to talk about communion more. Another show.
Let's do it maybe on tomorrow's show.
Yeah. That would be great. So helpful for us in understanding and clarifying what communion is, what it's not, and how we can apply it to our lives. Today was helpful for you. Write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. Lots of great content coming your way the rest of this week. Make sure you guys tune in. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.